I'm thankful for this time that we can spend together. I want to be able to receive some things from the Lord that would help us to be able to make it through this journey. Last week we were talking about sometimes I need to just kind of put a pause on life and take a look at the big picture, which is time and eternity. And it really starts changing what I see to be most important. The most important is for me to be prepared for my journey into eternity. And so today I want to talk about, if I could put a title to this, it would be My Eyes on the Prize. What's valuable to me? You know, it's really easy in life. I could start out as a young person. There are people that do that. They say, you know what, my prize is retirement. I want to be able to retire wealthy, live so well for those years. You know what I realize as I look at time and eternity? I realize that retirement is just the closing out of my time and about to move into eternity. So I want to be able to have a prize, something different than what's temporal things. So I want us to look at something. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, it compares it to a literal race. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? You know, I thought about races that we see in this life. Sometimes they'll have like a little marathon. You will run so many miles, and maybe you're even running through town. And what would it be if someone is running along and they're running through town and all of a sudden they pass a hardware store and they say, you know what, when this race is over, I've got to come back in here to get something. I'm going to just run in here and pick it up on the way. No, they've got a prize that they're looking for. And they focus on that. Well, we're kind of the same way with us today. We're living in this life, but I got to check, what's my prize that I'm working for, that I'm interested in? I want to show you someone's prize, and we've looked at this before. It's in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and 13. The last part of the 13th verse, they were persuaded of them, they embraced them, they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, if I confess that I'm a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth, then I must have something else that is the prize that I'm working for. And this one, the 14th verse says, they that say such things declare plainly they're seeking a country. If they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. This is the prize that these people have. Yes, I live here, I work here, I spend my time here, but I've got a prize that I'm working toward. Want to be faithful to that. They desire a better country, that is a heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God. He hath prepared for them a city. So I was looking, you know, we're not running a race against other people. This is for myself to be able to make it, focusing on this race for me and the goal that's out ahead. And I want to look at that prize. It's in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. This is just trying to get us a little bit of picture of the prize that there is for us. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, you know, a lot of times when we look at that, we think that's out in heaven. But you know, that's also for the Christian here in this life. The things that God has prepared for us to be able to be victorious in this life, being able to have a happy life here before I ever go to heaven on the other side. to see the things that he's provided with the plan of salvation for me. There is a song that I found. Because you know what? The world would look on the prize that I have for my life. What is the most valuable thing for my life? And it's not in this world. It's in the one to come. And I saw this song. I'd like to read the verses of it. The world looks on and says, just look at your loss. You gave up the good life for an old rugged cross. You lost all your freedom and most of your friends. Well, I'm here to tell you what I gave up for him. The things that we gave up and the things we received. Here's what I gave up. Bitterness, sorrow, trouble, and tears. A sad, broken heart, long, wasted years. Amen. A world tossed and chained in sin and in shame. You know, we just look around us today at the world and what they consider to be a prize out ahead for them. It says, well, that's what I gave up for Jesus' dear name. Then it says, the world looks on and says, what have you gained? You're working, you're giving, and it seems like it's all in vain. You're wasting your good years with nothing to show. Well, here's what God gave me, if you'd really like to know. Happiness, victory, heavenly peace. What price could we put on that? Blessings and sweetness that never shall cease. All things I needed through faith I have gained. That's what God gave me through Jesus' dear name. All this and heaven through Jesus' dear name. So I look at that. When I read this verse in 2 Corinthians 2 and 9, it's written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man. That's telling about the things we can have here and the things we can have when we go to heaven. And I want to be able to be faithful to that. In Hebrews 12, you know, the world looks at what we're doing and says, you're wasting your time. You know, Sunday morning, this is a beautiful day. There are a lot of things that we could be doing that we could consider valuable. I notice, especially maybe springtime, coming to church, I pass by a golf course. And there's people out there, it's such a beautiful day, this is what I value, I'm going out to play golf. Well, you know what, I want to say, no matter if it's raining or shining, when I get an opportunity to come to service, this is what I value. I want to be able to be around the Word of God. I have it as a prize. Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, this is the race that we're running. Sometimes we can have some weights that we're carrying with us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This race that we're running, I remember in school we would have what they would call a 50-yard dash. You know, that's about from here to the fence out there in front of us. And children, to run that one, they would just run just as hard as they could go to see if they could be first to get there. Well, what does this say? Run with patience this race that's set before us. This one could continue on like a marathon. I'm going to have some difficulty between now and then, but I want to run it with patience this race that's set before us. Scripture tells us, he that endureth to the end, the same will be saved. And I love the example that Paul has left us. What if he would have gotten saved and he had no difficulties at all through his life, and then he made heaven his home? Then when we have difficulties, we wouldn't know how to relate to him. But he had enough troubles come into his life, and he come out on the other side. What did he say? I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what we have out ahead for us. To be able to take the troubles that come to us, whatever they may be, I've got a prize. What does it say? My eyes are on the prize. And that's not here in this life. It is in this life for the value of salvation, but it's also the benefits of heaven out ahead for me. Acts 20 and 24, where Paul says, I know there's some troubles coming to me, but I want to finish my course. You know, what if he just said, I just want to finish my course. however I have to do it. But he said he wants to finish his course with joy. And then it also says here in that Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith. When Jesus was here, did he have no problems? Everything went well for him. He had a lot of things he went through. But look what this says. Who for the, in the second verse of Hebrews 12, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yeah, that was Jesus. But you know what? We see Paul looking at the same thing. I want to be able to finish my course with joy. And then he does that. We find it over in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and in the 6th verse. Here's Paul at the end of it all. What if he had had in this life his eyes on a prize here? Instead, he was seeing something out ahead, and he said in the 6th verse, I'm now ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, finished my course. The race that he understood that God had set for him to go through, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You ever thought about the value of you getting to wear a crown in heaven? You ever thought, boy, that'd really make me look special. Might even have a few gold nuggets in it or something, make it look good. What would be the value? He says there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. I'm thinking about this. A crown is some recognition for accomplishments that have been made. We think about literally, but I want us to think about spiritually. To be able to make heaven my home, will I be able to stand up to the Lord and say, Lord, let me tell you all the good things that I have done for you. I want to tell you what we want to do with our crown. Over in Revelations, the 4th chapter, and in the 10th verse, at the last part of the 10th verse, they worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. And here's what they did with their crowns. Any accomplishments that they have, here's what they did. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, so any accomplishments that I have in life, I'll lay those down before the Lord and say, thank you for helping me. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. Damon, do you remember the chorus of the song, all the praises should be given?
And all the praises should be given
to my Jesus, for he's the one who picked me up when I was down on the way. All the praises given to my Savior, for he's the one who made me what I am today.
I love that song. All the praises should be given to Jesus. He's the one who picked me up when I was down all the way. All the praises should be given to my Savior. He's the one, if I have anything at all. You know the song that we sing, I am only an earthen vessel. And then it says, all excellence is of the Lord. If anything comes from me being a vessel, the excellence goes to the Lord. And here's what Paul had to say in 1 Corinthians 15:10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, if the Lord helps us to have victories in our life over Satan, be able to realize, you know what? It's the grace of God that has helped me to be able to be who I am. And I'm thankful for it. I'd like for us to look at a verse in Matthew, the 13th chapter, because I'm looking at my eyes on the prize. What is my prize that I'm working for? Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure that's hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hides, and for joy thereof, he sells all that he has, and he buys that field. You know, the verse talks to us about buy the truth and sell it not. I'd like to think about this as our experience with the Lord in this life. I have seen the value of it and all the things that would want to come along and say, you want to trade that off for this? You know, the world wants to show us a lot of pretty things, a lot of flashing lights. Here's this. But I don't want to trade in this treasure right here. It says he sold everything he has and he buys that field. You know, Satan wants to make us some offers. It is amazing to me that he even made an offer to Jesus. When in the fourth chapter of Matthew, when he can say to Jesus, all these things, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, all these things I will give you, but you got one thing you got to do. If you fall down and worship me. You know what? There's a lot of things happening today where Satan wants to come to us and say, I've got some things to give you. You can have your eyes on another prize, something else that becomes so valuable to you. And I want to tell you, some of those things are not sinful things. I can let retirement become a prize to me. You know what? People do that. They will work for years and years focusing on, when I get to this, this is going to be the prize that I enjoy. You know what I find many times with that? Is many times when people reach that age, they don't have very long before they are gone out into eternity. What I want to do is have a prize that reaches here and also out in eternity. So how do I deal with having the world? You know, we're working in the world. We're going to deal in the world. There's a verse over in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians in the 7th chapter. 7th chapter in the 31st verse. They that use this world as not abusing it. Now that's telling us, you know what, tomorrow we're going to go out and we're going to buy things. We're going to go out and we're going to work our job. And this one is saying, they that use this world, we're going to use it. You know, when Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter, he said, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. What I'm praying is that you'll keep them from the evils as I'm using the things in this world, that I'll be able to keep the right balance. As not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. For me to be able to have a picture, you know, all these temporal things, 2 Peter says, there's a day coming when all of that is going to burn up. And whether I live to see that day or not, my end is going to come where I will leave everything that I've accumulated behind also. So I want my prize, my eyes on that prize, to be something more than these temporal things. Yes, it's true. I'm going to go to work tomorrow and I expect a paycheck one day from that. And I'm going to go buy some things with it. But all that dealing that I'm doing in temporal things, may I never let it cause me to get my eyes off of the real prize. So I was looking at the commentary on this word, this verse, using the world but not abusing it. It says, pass through things temporal so as not to lose those things that are eternal. Do not make it my main purpose of living by dealing with things in the world. Matthew 6 gives us some instruction because we're having to balance our life. 6 and 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt. Thieves break through a steel. Lay them up in heaven where they don't corrupt. And then it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You remember the man that said to his soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, thou fool, this night your soul is going to be required of you. Then who shall all these things be? So is this instructing us that you should not have a savings account, you should not have any extra money? No, I think it's all backed up with this verse in the 21st verse. where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We can have money in the bank, but it's not where that's not my treasure. That's not where my heart is. And I want to be able to find that balance in my life. It says on that commentary, for that a heart designed for God in eternity is terribly degraded by being fixed on these things that are subject to corruption. I think it's good for me sometimes to just stop life for just a little bit. Kind of like we're on this merry-go-round. I don't know if they even have them anymore. But as children, we used to have it to where you get on it and you hang on, because some of the big boys there are going to spin it as fast as they can and see if you're going to get thrown off. You know, you can start out by hanging on and just enjoying the scenery as you're going around. But in a little bit, you're not looking at scenery. You're just trying to lock your legs and your arms around it just to keep from being thrown off. When we set our eyes on the prize of heaven, we're going to have to realize, you know what? Some of these things of this world are spinning fast. It looks like this is where it's at. But may I be able to have a balance in my life to where I can see there's a prize out ahead for me. It's a great prize to be saved today, to be able to every day the Lord go along with us and lead us and guide us. But that's just the beginning of the prize that is waiting for us. In Colossians, the third chapter, tells me what to do if I have a confession that I'm saved and ready to meet the Lord. And if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And here it tells me, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. So I think here's my balance, is where's my affection? I want to be able to, as I'm going through this life, I want to be able to make some investments over on the other side. We hear about times where we can just shut out life for a little bit, spend some time, we sing a song, alone with God, the world forbidden. Alone with God, O blessed retreat. You know, that doesn't mean I have to go to a little cave in Colorado or something. I'm shutting it out of my mind and being able to spend some special time with the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. There's another verse that gives me a little warning. It's in 1 John in the second chapter, and the 17th verse, 15th verse, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So loving the world, what does that really mean for us today in 2025? I think it's talking about where my affections, where my heart is. I will be dealing in things of the world, but may my heart not be set on those things. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is going to pass away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. For me to be able to find this balance, there was a song that the Salees have sung in the past. I would never miss seeing Jesus. I'd never miss seeing loved ones. Who have gone on before. It said, I would never trade forever for a few days down here. I would never miss heaven for the world. By God's help, I want to be able to see the balance of living in this world, partaking in things that are temporal, and yet keeping my heart to where I've got my eyes on a prize that is out ahead of us. There's a verse that says, this is 1 Timothy 6 and 12, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Those verses tell me that we're going to have a battle on our hands to be able to make heaven our home. There's going to be some opposition come to us. And how do I go through that? It even talks to me in some places about I need to endure hardness as a good soldier. Some of those things tell me, now look at a soldier. You know, he could be living very comfortably, and then he signs up to be a soldier. He signs up maybe to do 4 years enlisted service. And you know, at that time, he just kind of gives up himself. This scripture is saying, I want you to endure hardness as a good soldier. And to do that, for those next years, he doesn't live his own life. He's doing what the country is desiring of him. No man that warreth entangleth himself. You know that guy that has signed up for 4 years? He doesn't entangle himself in other business affairs. He sets that aside. Lord, help me to be able to find the balance for myself. I was reading this during the American Revolution. It says there was someone that was called a Minute Man. And it says who that was, you know, they didn't have a lot of armies lined up like the British did. But what they had was citizen volunteers. You know, they had crops to put in. They had crops to harvest. Just depends at what time of the year they get called. But what it said they would do, they were always prepared for battle. I've got these temporal things to take care of. I need to plant my crop. But when I hear the bell ring down at the village square that I'm needed, I drop my plow, I drop everything, and I run to be able to help there. I was looking at that. Prepared to go into battle at a minute's notice. Just, yes, I've got temporal things here. And I'm finding for myself, I say, Lord, help me. I've got some temporal things that I consider very valuable, important for me. But Lord, help me at a minute's notice. If you would say, you know, I think of what caused, the only thing that we see that caused the rich man to end up in hell was that he was just too busy to see, or he did not see the one that was laid at his gate. There may have been other things also, but that's one thing that has made me to realize, Lord, help me to be a minute man. Help me to, yes, I've got these temporal things that I'm doing, but Lord, if you would call me to do something for somebody, just let me know, and I'll shut down what I've got right here, and I'll help out with that. Sometimes we think that's a big item. It may not be anything more than helping somebody at the grocery store for a little bit. I have found that I can walk into a store and I know exactly what I want and I'm headed for it. And I can walk right by people and never look up. I'm just watching the floor as I'm heading back to get my thing I'm buying and head out of the store. You know, some of these things, a minute man may be just a little small thing of saying, Lord, there could be somebody about to cross my path that just a smile and a good morning to them would change a little bit of load that they're going through. I want to be able to do that. There is also another verse that I'd like for us to look at in Mark, the 4th chapter. Because there's some things that want to bog us down in this life. And this one gives us a little warning. Mark 4 and the 18th verse. Says, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this life, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The scripture let us know that to lay aside every weight and run this race with patience. I want to be able to do that. If we have read much about American history, we realize that, you know, there were some people that used to live in the East, and they heard about these places of Oregon and California, where it is such a wonderful place. If you can just get there, it's an abundance of beauty, good crops for you. But they got to cross the United States. It's one thing for us to get in a car on the interstate and drive along until we get hungry and we pull off to eat and then we get back on again. I just look at the advancement of Route 66. To have back there years ago, people had to go through all those little towns and stop and go from the east to the west coast. Now we have the interstate system. Back when they had the covered wagon, I tried to think about what that must have been like for them. And I think it was probably the husband was the one that had the dreams. The wife would have probably been happy to stay home in there on the east side and live. But she gives up her stuff. Well, no, she doesn't give it up. She says, okay, I'll go, but I've got some heirlooms that we've got to take with us. I've heard of even some of them said, this piano that got passed down to me from Grandma, I've got to take it, so it goes in the wagon. And other things that were very valuable. And they got two oxen that are pulling it. You know, they do pretty good going through Kansas and some of the flat ground. But there's some mountains out ahead. There's some difficulties out ahead. You know what? In my life, I can have some days where everything is wonderful. You know, everyone could live for the Lord on those days. There's no difficulties. But difficulties was coming to them. And I've read stories about along that trail that took them from here to that promised land was some big difficulties. And they have to make some decisions. We're going to have to lighten our load, or we're not going to ever make it, because these animals that are pulling no longer can pull through these mountains. And they said you would see the piano laying out on the side. We had to give it up. We've got too much weight to be able to make it across to the other side. We can't even fathom that. I'd just get a bigger U-Haul truck, would take care of getting me there. But theirs was life or death. It was, if we're going to get there, we've got to dump out some things to be able to do it. Well, today, with my eyes on the prize, there's some things that as I'm going along through life, when things are going so well, everything's good. But you know what? There's coming some mountains in our lives, some difficult places. And at that time, I want to have my eyes on the prize. Here, what salvation can do for me here, and also what it's going to be like to make heaven my home. I want to look at a song. It's number 363. Because we have a goal in mind, I believe everybody that can have any comprehension of heaven and hell would choose, I want to make heaven my home, is what I want. Well, I have that same desire. I look at this song. I look at verse number 3. Well, the first verse, shall I wear that bright crown God has offered to me when my life shall have come to a close? Well, my choice would be, sure I will. That's what I want to do. But look at this third verse. There's some difficulties come. Let my anchor be grounded so deep in the rock till the storms of this life all are past, that I'll firmly endure on the promise secure till he brings me to glory at last. I want to be able to make heaven my home. I want to have my eyes on the right prize, what is valuable for me. I'd like for us to, maybe we can stand and sing that song number 363. Because that chorus says, yes, I will wear a crown over there. I am glad for that. That's my determination. But I want to be able to make it a reality by choices that I make in my life.